This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not many people know with the song and all that. People think they like to call him Super Reporter. I've asked JD myself.
I call him a friend.
Super Correspondent John Dickinson. Follow him on Twitter at JD John Dickinson. And forgive me for assuming, JD, that you were in AT&T watching the Giants game. I should have known, because I did know that you are in Portland covering the Warriors as fantastically as you do. And tomorrow, I'm not sure what's going to be interrupted in terms of the NBA this week, because there's a doubleheader for the A's and the Orioles because the game got rained out. My brain is fried, JD. Tell the people when you will be on tomorrow and when they can hear you talking about the Dubs as fantastically as you do with Matt Steinmetz.
Yeah, well, I can explain it real quickly here. Yeah, because of the A's rain out and doubleheader tomorrow, we're going to be on 95.7thegame.com live streaming
tomorrow.
At the normal time, 9 a.m. until noon, and we'll be on the app as well. So you can check us out. We'll make sure and try and promote it as much as possible. Yeah, things got a little bit shifted around, obviously, with the A's and the weather there in Baltimore. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes rainouts happen, so the A's are gonna play their two games tomorrow, and we're gonna move over to the stream. But it's actually a big weekend because I'm gonna be on from Portland for that, and then I'm gonna be on with Matt on Sunday as well from 5 until 8, and I'll be in a studio in Portland, and Matt will be in San Francisco, and that'll be after Warriors practice here in Portland on Sunday.
Perfect. And in terms of obviously, the biggest story, JD, Steph Curry and the injury. If you had told me, tell me what you want to hear tomorrow on Friday in terms of Steph Curry, I would have said he looks great in practice. He's not going to play in Game 3. That's the news that pretty much came out. I'm not sure how much more you know, being, you know, covering them closely and being on the inside. Do you think if they had to play him tomorrow, they could? And if so, isn't that great for Warriors fans that he is kind of ready to rock, but they're just not going to put him out there based on the series?
No, I don't think he could play tomorrow, honestly, because he still was not able to go 3-on-3 or 5-on-5, and Steve Kerr had all but said that he probably wasn't going to play even yesterday, but he was encouraged by the fact that he was able to get out and take part in some individual drills and be able to move around, and he thought he looked significantly better than he did even 2 days ago. So I think it's encouraging in that respect, but make no mistake, I don't think they're holding him out tomorrow because of the series or because they're being cautious. I think he's point blank not ready to go yet. And I think Sunday's going to be a big day, because if I had to put a number on it, for Monday, I think Monday is unlikely as well. And Steve Kerr had even said he's probably doubtful right now, even for Monday. So I think he is progressing and it's getting better. And that could change. I mean, doubtful could become questionable by Sunday and could become probable, by Monday afternoon. But at this point, I think it looks like he's not going to play in either game, barring a significant, another 2-day bridge here that are just as good as the last 2 days have been.
JD, I'm totally with you, man. And until he's back on the court, that's when I'll believe. But Zach thinks this guy's ready to go, and, they're being cautious. But I echo those sentiments. We just had a discussion here. I got upset with Zach. I don't do it much, but I did. About Draymond Green. Zach said
every time we do a show,
he's been a little overzealous with the refs. And the beauty about Draymond, JD, is, he brings things other than the box score, and sometimes he'll get into confrontations with the ref or whomever to get himself going. And I think when you're dealing with a guy that delicate like that, you can't tell him to curtail, to bring it in, reel it in a bit. Where do you come out on that? Because Zach's saying, I need him to tone it down just a bit.
Yeah, I think he knows the limits, and I think he knows the line. I think he's come close to crossing the line and even, you know, maybe getting ejected from a game. You know, I can't remember the exact game, but there has been a game in the Houston series. I'd have to go back and look at my notes which game it was, but there was a game, maybe game three in Houston, where it looked like he was very close to getting ejected, and a referee that had a quick trigger, even in the playoffs, you know, may have run him from the game. So I think, you know, he knows his limits overall, so I would tend to think that it's not that big of a thing, but he does definitely toe the line as much as he possibly can get away with. But I also think he's aware of the fact that he has to be on the court if the Warriors are going to win these games, and that's the most important thing. But I do think there's times where he loses it enough to where the wrong ref in the wrong moment might take him out of the game.
John Dickinson, our super correspondent live from Portland, kind enough to join us there on the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, 95.7, the game. When it comes to looking at the news coming out about Festus Ezeli might being a target for the Lakers, 3 years, $50 million, Luke Walton obviously going to be the coach for the Lakers. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you were looking at either Festus Ezeli or Harrison Barnes or neither of them and getting Kevin Durant, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but the news just came down yesterday. Where are you at in terms of all that talk?
$17 million a year, or I guess that would be, what, 16.667. Okay, yeah. So my math is slightly off there. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for Festus Ezeli, and I could see him being a $10 or a $12 million a year player, but boy, when you start to get into the $16, $17 million range, that's a tough one. Now it is a short-term deal when you look at the 3 years. I mean, I think Festus could get a four-year deal, to be perfectly honest, from a team, you know, maybe in that, let's say, $64 million kind of range, maybe four and 16, you know, for his services. So that would be a tough one for me to swallow. You know, as far as Harrison Barnes goes, I mean, Harrison's probably going to be in that same range, if not a little bit more. I mean, a lot of the talk with Harrison is he could be close to a $18 million a year player and going up, obviously, over the duration of a contract, which would be 4 years if he signs with another team or an offer sheet with another team. So it's tough. I mean, I think Harrison Barnes is a guy that's got more value just because he's a starter, because he can, you know, play multiple positions, you know, because he's somebody that also plays with the bench unit. I think he's an underrated cog to what the Warriors do. I think Ezeli is as well, but I think Harrison among the two is more important. Now, as far as Durant, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, I think the Warriors, and I know I've said this to you guys in the past, I think the Warriors are going to go out of their way to really get involved and see how far they can take that conversation.
And you know why, JD.
What's that?
That management is obsessed with superstars. They're obsessed with the San Francisco new arena. They're obsessed with the fact that, I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Look, they're going to be one of the two teams probably that it comes down to. If they're not the team that he ends up with, they're going to be the team that was number two in the running.
And don't say the first one. Who would be the winner if they weren't, JD? Go ahead and say it.
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of different
teams. No, there's one. You know there's one.
To me, San Antonio.
There we go. Who else would be in the running?
Well, I think Washington's going to be in the running. I think Oklahoma City's going to be in the running.
You don't believe that.
No, I think they'll be in the running.
Really?
I would guarantee you that he'll meet with all those teams.
What about the Lakers, too?
I think the Lakers will try and get a meeting. There's no question. I don't know that he'll necessarily, you know, go for it.
Yeah, he wants to win.
He may want the allure of L.A., but, you know, that going to L.A. could be, you know, being a low 40s win team. I mean, Durant's in his prime. I mean, the time for him is to win championships. He might be two, 3 years away from winning a title even in Los.
Well, that's my point, JD. I see him a lot like the first Cleveland Cavs, LeBron James, who needed and wanted a championship bad, which is why he went to Miami, which is why I think he's either going to go to Golden State or San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, look, that makes a lot of sense. I think Washington's got a decent roster. I mean, I know that's the hometown, and it seems like guys flirt with the hometown, but don't always go. Now, LeBron obviously went back, but it was, you know, wasn't his choice necessarily originally. I mean, it was, you know, they got the number one pick, and he was the greatest player in the world, so they took him. Now, he did choose to go back, obviously, which was just key, but he also chose to leave. So, you know, it tells you something there about what's going on in his mind. But, no, I think Washington with John Wall and Bradley Beal, I mean, that's a pretty – in the Eastern Conference, they could challenge with Durant, I think, to be at the top of the West. A new coach, I mean, they underachieved last year. But, I mean, San Antonio is the one. I mean, he'd be a perfect fit with San Antonio. I mean, my goodness, you put him with LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard, you know, that could get some stuff done. That would be pretty amazing if you look at that big three with Popovich and the Warriors' big three with Steve Kerr, you know, for the next 2-3 years. That would be unreal. And you know the Warriors would retool as well, you know, if Durant ends up going there. But I think the Warriors are going to absolutely be in the mix for Durant.
Live from Portland, John Dickinson, our correspondent. Follow him on Twitter at JD John Dickinson. Tune in not only on 957thegame.com, but also on the app for the NBA this week, 9 to noon tomorrow. We'll talk to you soon, JD. Thank you for the time.
Appreciate it.
Sounds good, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.